the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, guys. Welcome to episode 210 of the Golf Podcast. This happens to be a very special episode. This is one that we've been waiting for a long time. We just wrapped up our Pro-Am round. I know we've been talking about it in the episodes leading up to this, what it was going to be like, the anticipation of playing Bay Hill, the Pro-Am for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So we just did it, and now we're back to talk about it. So the other thing I want to also just kind of let you guys know, if you're listening to this, and I say listening to this because we're also going to put it on the YouTube channel, but if you're listening to this and it sounds a little bit different, it's because we're in a hotel room right now. There's a little bit of sounds. I got a mini fridge clicking away behind me here, but we wanted to make sure that we had a chance to chat about it as soon as it happened so we can kind of just kind of go through it, because as you said, Mike, you got a lot running through your head, right?
I do, absolutely.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff to talk about. Before we go any further, I just want to take a second to talk about Health IQ. Guys, if you listen to the show, you've heard us chat about things like how exercise and staying fit can really help you improve your golf game. Well, the good news is that being physically fit can also save you a lot of money on your life insurance. It's a lot like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver. Health IQ helps reward healthier individuals with more affordable life insurance. So guys, if you're a runner or a strength trainer or physically active in some other way, you need to visit healthiq.com/golficity to see if you qualify for their life insurance savings. And the savings are significant, with 56% of Health IQ customers saving between 4 and 33% of their life insurance. So again, be sure to visit healthiq.com/golficity to get a free quote today. Mike, I know in a second we're going to chat about it. The other big news that we've talked about here is that we've brought Titleist on as a real key sponsor of the show. Those guys have been terrific front to back, even before we kind of kicked it off and just kind of meeting them and things like that. They surprised us leading into Bay Hill when they found out that we're going to be playing and sent us a whole bunch of custom Golficity logoed Pro V1s, which you were playing today.
They looked sharp out there today, yep.
And they looked like they performed well.
They performed great.
We'll talk about that in a second mm-hmm. because we had definitely some really great moments out there. But just to kind of recap of where we're at right now, like I said, it's Wednesday as of when we're recording this. We just wrapped it up. The weather out there was gorgeous today. The experience so far has just been great. I mean, we finally, there was so much anticipation building because it took so long to finally get out there and get to the Pro-Am. We got in Monday. Monday was a long travel day for us. We flew in. Monday night was a lot of fun. We got to go over to Top Golf here. We got to meet up with some of the fans and listeners of the podcast. We even had some extra grounds passes. We were able to give those away. So we appreciate everybody who stopped by and saw us at Top Golf. And then we had that great clinic on Tuesday. That was great for a tune-up, right?
It was great. And I actually used some of those tips today, even on 18. I think it was either 18 or maybe it was 17. Yeah, it was 17. I tried that bump and run that we learned at the clinic. Yep. Worked out pretty well. Some putting tips, keeping my head down, learned that at the clinic, used that today. So a lot of great stuff came out of that clinic, and it was really like a tease. It got me really excited because we were out there and we weren't really able to play. We were on a golf course, and we were looking at the golf course, but we were just stuck at the range, which was great. Don't get me wrong. But we were so eager to get out there, and we finally did today.
I'll tell you what, the range there was like epic in and of itself. I think the local pro there told us it was the biggest driving range in the country.
Yeah.
Right? It was Orange County National here down in not too far from Orlando. It was vast. I think I've seen entire golf courses that fit into the span of that driving range.
Yeah, easily.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that was a really cool thing. And then last night was the pairing party, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second, because I think one of the biggest questions that a lot of people had leading up to this in the Facebook group and everywhere else was like, how does it work? Do you know who you're paired with? How do you know, and when do you know who you get paired up with? So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what you were thinking, what was going through your head when we went through that. And then I want to talk about today, because today it was a long day. As of when we're recording this right now, it's 4:30. We left the hotel room at what, 5:30 this morning?
Yes.
So sometimes you see the pros on like their Snapchats and Instagram. They kind of, you know,
Pro-Am Day. Pro-Am Day. Yeah.
So it's an early day for everybody. But the good thing about the early tee time, Tiger went off, what, three or four groups ahead of us.
Right.
So we were there on the range, you know, not too far from him. And there's just so much excitement around that. There's the Tiger effect is real. I mean, there's just
huge,
you know, crowds around him. And it's just everything is just a little bit more excitement when he's around. So love him or hate him, there's no arguing that he's great for the game.
He is. You know, he's fantastic for the game. I was excited. I was like a little boy out there today just standing next to him on the range, you know. So can't wait to dissect that. And like you just said, current mood right now, if you're watching this video on our YouTube channel and you can hear it in my voice, I am exhausted.
This guy, hold on a second. Maybe, I don't know if you can see this in the video. He has two coffees, one hot, one cold.
Yep. Yep. I don't know just which way I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, he's got to make sure that he gets himself picked up because we got
to
go back.
We're
headed back to Bay Hill after we record this because they're going to have a reception for everybody after the fact.
They told us to put our dancing shoes on. There is no way I'm dancing number one tonight. Lucky if I even make it there.
I'm going to look at my watch right now because this guy – And he played it well, so I didn't have to walk too much around the course. And I got already registered. It says 8.6 miles I walked today, 17,000 steps.
Yeah.
It is a long day.
It's a long day, and I want to talk about your performance a little later.
I'm going
to rate my caddy. So current mood is very exhausted, so I'm going to try to get through this one, but the excitement will get me through this.
Yeah, so we're going to dive into it in a second. Before we talk about that, as you may know and as you've heard us talk about, because it's very exciting, it's a great thing to have because I think it's going to bring a lot of great things to the show. And to our video content. If you're not following us on YouTube, make sure you check us out there as well. But as we've talked about, we've recently brought on a new sponsor, Titleist, the number one ball in golf. And guys, look, we can all agree that your golf game is important to you. That's why Titleist is committed to ensuring that every golf ball delivers superior quality and consistency. From ball to ball, dozen to dozen, you should really expect your golf ball to perform exactly the same way, shot after shot, and Titleist make sure they make that happen. And how they do that, they own the design, the technology, and the manufacturing to make sure consistency is spot on every time. They even conduct all the testing and quality checks to make sure nothing slips through the cracks.
Yeah, and with more than 1,100 passionate associates that work in Titleist owned and operated facilities controlling every step of the process, you can expect a premium product every single time. I mean, the discipline is what sets Titleist apart and allows them to provide golfers with the total performance, the confidence that they require to shoot their lowest possible score. In fact, like you said, I used the Pro V1s today in the Pro-Am, and man, was I making some quality shots on a fast PGA Tour course. So that's Titleist, the number one ball for every player and the number one ball in golf. Choose the best for your game.
And it was perfect timing because we ran to the Titleist team right here while we were here in Bay Hill. You know, they're there on site to make sure that their pros are getting their full attention, and just a great team. So really excited to work with them. So let's kind of like take everybody through this because, as I said, we've had a lot of great questions coming in about how the Pro-Am works, what you do, how that type of stuff. So first and foremost, we got to talk about the pairing and how that works because we did not know, nor does anybody in the Pro-Am know who they're going to be paired with going into it. Now, I will say there's one side caveat to that. Every tournament has a title sponsor. In this case, it's the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard, right? So MasterCard being the title sponsor, they're the ones who are putting a lot of money into this. Also, don't forget one thing is that the Pro-Am, the proceeds go to charity. In this case, it's Arnie's Army, who does great work. Definitely give them a look. Look them up and check out what they do. But these Pro-Ams are great because they give the pros a final chance to see the course before Thursday, you know, first round starts. And it's great because it brings in a lot of money for these charities. So MasterCard, obviously with top billing, they got to reserve for themselves, I think it was, what, 6 picks off the top?
I believe it was 7 picks were gone before we even started.
So we got the pairing sheets, and on the pairing sheets, the 7 had been reserved. And it's the big names, as you can imagine. But the good part about this is a field like this, there are so many big names. So we saw that Tiger was taken off the sheet right off the top, and there was Rory
Justin, yep. Day, Justin right? Rose, Justin Ricky Rose. Fowler, yep.
But there were still so many names to decompress. So this is the way it works. you know, we walk in, they hand Mike a packet, and inside that packet is a listing of all the names. And they tell him which ones are taken off, but then there's everybody else and their tee times. Mike was obviously to foursome, right? So the pro being one, Mike being the other, and then we had two other guys in the pro-am, two other amateurs we were paired up with. So there's a little bit of strategy to it, right?
Yep.
So you had to meet with your team. I saw you guys chatting. You started to number your players, right?
Yeah, and what was great is those guys let me kind of do my thing because they kind of knew, you know, with my background of being in this field and working with some of the players, knowing some of the players, watching the players week in and week out, they actually said, hey, listen, we don't care who we play with, but, you know, knowing what you know, you tell us who would be a good fit. So I thought that was really cool of these guys. So I said, great, I'll kind of be like the team leader. So I kind of went through, we took a pen and we just rated everyone. I said, let's start with the top. I think one, two, three, and four were in this order was Zach Johnson, Brant Snedeker, Henrik Stenson, and Billy Horschel. Those are our top four picks.
Yep.
You know, those are four guys I would love to play with after, of course, the guys who were already taken by the MasterCard team. So, you know, going through that process was fun. It was kind of like, you know, a strategy session. We were talking about things. And then you get to, 20 and then 25. And we're like, I mean, there's 52 names.
Yeah.
So at 25, we're like, all right, let's just stop here and just hope that we're going to get picked.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we went after 25.
Yeah, they were, I think they ended up with the fourth to last pick. And it's an intense experience because if you, basically, you have, once your number is called, and it's a lottery random type thing. So they'll just spin the wheel, and it's digital wheel now, I guess, whatever. But they spin it, your number pops up. They call your team number. Mike was team number two. And I remember because I'm watching the board and I'm filming it, trying to like get as soon as they're going to come up. But you have 30 seconds to pick. If you don't pick in 30 seconds, and that's like not subjective, like that's hardcore exactly.
Yeah, it's a hard 30 seconds.
They have a 30 second shot clock on the
with
board,
a buzzer.
With a buzzer.
Yes.
And they'll give you the 10 seconds. And if you hit zero and haven't picked, you go to the very end of the line. So you're just left with whoever is unpicked basically.
Right.
So, they had to be ready, and they had to be ready to scramble, especially as Mike's over there and you guys start scratching off the names that were called, you know, and it was going through the list. But again, the benefit of this happened to be the Arnold Palmer Invitational is the field is so deep. So take them through the ending, how you ended up with your pick and who you guys ended up with.
Yeah, so we ended up taking Francesco Molinari. You know, the Italian European Tour player who primarily plays on the European Tour. In fact, after speaking with him and playing with him today, we found that he'll be here in the States on the PGA Tour for at least...
Yeah, he's got a pretty stacked schedule,
seven or eight
he said.
Events. Yeah, right. Including Shinnecock, U.S. Open, all the way in June. So he's going to be
the Masters, WGC, yep. The Dell. Yeah.
Wells Fargo, Players, you name it. So he was actually, I think, our like 18th pick choice.
Right.
So he fell within that, and he was still available, which was great. And you know, again, there was a lot of names like some web.com tour graduates. There were some people like Grayson Murray and people that I didn't really know much about. You know, once we saw that he was available, Molinari, we grabbed him because he's the 25th best player in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I've watched him play for a few years now. You know, I like the Italian background, like myself. And, you know, and I thought that was kind of cool. We had some stuff to talk about. We talked about the, Italy and the country and, like, vacations and some really cool stuff.
Yeah, your recent trip to Sicily,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right. So we had a lot to talk about. So, you know, we ended up with it. And I think at the end of it, Frank, we were just so exhausted because of the nerves.
Yeah.
They got to us because the shot clock, you know, and everything that kind of went along with it. And you just like, who are we going to get? Who are we going to get? When are we going to get picked? And it's like, next on deck. Oh, you know, everyone's kind of like, oh, you know, a lot of commotion and everything. It was really exciting. Right. It was like a lottery. So we ended up at Molinari and, you know, it worked out really, really well.
It really did work out well because it was a great tee time. So that's the other thing. It was an 8 a.m. tee time. The first tee time was Tiger 720, right?
Yeah. And just to cut you off there. Sorry. That's kind of why I chose Molinari as well. That was another point I said to the guys. I said, listen, Molinari is still available. He's an 8 a.m. tee time. All the other guys who are there are the 1:40 tee times. One guy said the wind picks up late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And another thing was Tiger and all the boys are going to be warming up on the range for that early tee time. So let's go and let's be around them. And I was like, great idea.
Exactly. It was exciting just being on the course at the same time, you know, with Tiger. So when we were coming, I think it was down 15, we watched Tiger coming up 18.
Right.
And the crowds, and amazing the crowds that he draws. I mean, for a Wednesday pro-am, that's that Tiger effect. But it was good. So kind of fast forward a little bit. Great reception as part of the pro-am pairing party. I mean, great food, everything like that, open bar. I mean, it's just like it's a good time. The whole thing is just designed around just having a great time and celebrating the charities and celebrating, you know, the entire process. Because some of these guys, don't forget, they pay a lot of money to be in this pro-am. We were fortunate enough to have won this through 18 birdies, which big shout out to those guys. They've been some incredibly gracious hosts. I think how many total winners were there?
12.
So 12 total winners. We were the ones who had won it, as you guys know, at the media day. If you check out that video on YouTube when you saw Mike sink the putt. But there were 11 other guys who had won it in the 18 Birdies app through the Dream Games. And all along, the entire 18 Birdies crew is here. Even the CEO and owner, Eddie Liu, is here. He played in the Pro-Am. They had a great reception for us when we first got here on Monday night. And they have just taken care of us front to back. I mean, getting us back and forth, the shuttles and everything like that. So really big shout out to them for all the help that they've given us this week. But yeah, so it's an 8 o'clock tea time. We party a little bit, but we're like, last night we were like, forget it. I think we each had like one drink, right? And we're like,
barely.
I think I put mine down to go outside. And
I didn't even really want it. I was so nervous.
We just wanted to get some sleep and be ready.
I know. And the funny thing was that there was so much food there, but because I was so involved with picking the players the nerves, I didn't eat. I barely ate anything. So, of course, we came back to the hotel room and ordered a whole bunch of room service.
Which, if you saw on our Instagram Live,
yes,
it was like midway through the Instagram Live.
It arrived. And I must have had like six slices of that pizza right before bed, which probably wasn't a good idea, but everything worked out. But that was great. It was a fun night. And then, you know, fast forward, we woke up the next day.
Yeah, that's it. So we set the alarm. Let's correct that. Yeah. We set three alarms, right? Because we're like, there's no way we're messing this up, right? Mm-hmm. So we set the three alarms. I think it was for 5:15 or something like that. We were ready to go, got out the door, and we were on the shuttle by 6:15.
Still dark.
Yeah. So we just recently had the time change. So one thing I will note is that the sun didn't come up till 7:30. It was like, I'm getting my times wrong. It was about 7:10 because Tiger had the 7:20 tee time.
Right.
He teed off first light. But it was really cool. So we get there and warm up is at the range. And it's just with spotlights because it was pitch dark. I mean, I could see the moon was out. But it was good because we got there early enough. You got a full hour to get ready.
Yep.
You worked your way through the bag on the range. And then we just spent, you know, plenty of time on the putting range, on the putting green, because you had to get ready for it.
I'm so glad I did that. Stem. Yep.
I mean, fast, right?
Yeah, I'm really glad I spent most of my time this morning on the putting green. I mean, the order of events really today was when we got here, just wanted to get the breakfast in the system, needed something. Frank wasn't allowed to in. You know, cats weren't allowed to
eat. And hopefully this will make the final cut of the video, but it was funny because there's no, for some reason, there was no food or breakfast for the caddies. So I'm like, do something here. I'm starving.
Yeah, luckily I had a couple like protein bars in the bag. And even out on the course, there was apples and bananas and things like that he was able to get.
I was running on fumes.
He was running on fumes. But interesting enough, actually, the day before, the first pro I saw stepping onto the grounds, the very first person I saw was Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Walked right by him. This morning, first person I saw when I stepped on the grounds was Rory McIlroy, as he was in his player dining. So, you know, the top two names in the field, you know, it was kind of cool to see those guys and be up close with them. But order of events, really, when we got in after breakfast, it was dark. I didn't want to putt in the dark. There wasn't any lights on the green. We went right over to the range. Actually, I followed Tiger. I put that on my personal story that I was following Tiger. He was literally like 5 feet in front of me.
Walked actually over the little thing onto the range with him.
Right. So that was pretty cool. We were right there with him. And then the pros were kind of warming up on the left side of the range. The amateurs were on the right side. Frank was scrambling trying to find a caddy bib. He took off. So I'm going to go try to find a caddy bib because I think I need one.
Right. Because like I wanted to have that like Golficity one that you guys have seen in the commercials. But we also like, they're very specific, obviously, about what you can wear and what you can do. So being presented by MasterCard, everybody was wearing the MasterCard bibs, but we were okay. We didn't have to wear it. I could just kind of, which was good because I had my jacket and everything else on. Because the other thing was tea time. It was 40 degrees.
I think it was like 45, 46.
I don't know. Still cold. I remember 40, putting 46. In the story, and I remember it saying something like 40.
Okay.
But it was cold.
Yeah. I mean, it got up to 60 by, like, you know, the last few holes of the day, and the sun came out. But yeah, the morning was cold. I ended up hitting, I got to say, maybe about 20 or 30 balls out on the range. Didn't want to overdo it. I wanted to get the confidence in the driver because I know I was going with driver off the first hole. It was a long par four, so I wanted to – I mean, you even told me this. You said try to envision that first tee shot right before we head over to the next practice session.
And we had walked the course a little bit the day before. Leading up to the I guess it was the pairing party dinner, we got some time to go out on the course, and so we wanted to see the first hole and some of the other ones just to get an idea and a feel for where it would be. You know, yeah. The next day.
So. Yeah, it was a good idea to do that for sure. And after that, we headed back over to the putting green. The sun was up, so we were able to see perfectly. I rolled a whole bunch of putts for probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Yep.
Tapping the ball, and it was just flying. They were so quick. And again, like I said, so glad I did that because I took that out on the course.
Yep. Made a few putts today.
Made a few big putts, and that was probably the reason why. You need to do that, especially on a course that you've never been to. Forget about PGA Tour, Pro-Am or not. Always do that. Always check out the greens before you go out. So we did that, and I think the time was just going so quick because we looked up at that big Rolex clock that they had in the middle of the green, and we had like 15 minutes to go.
And then we just shot over there the first tee, and that's and it's really, it's a great experience there too. You get to that's where you meet your pro. You meet your pro at the tee, and they do a great job from front to back about making sure that they help create and craft a memory for you. So one of the things which you might be able to see if you're watching this on YouTube in the shot here, every single participant in the Pro-Am, they take photos on the first tee with the pro, and then you get a signed, already framed plaque with those photos. So Mike's got a great picture of him here with Molinari. One thing that I'm going to say for sure is I continue to be impressed and amazed with how accommodating the pros are. Don't forget, these guys have a job to do. It is super competitive, as we've mm-hmm. been talking about out there. They've got to get their game ready, and they dedicate so much time on Wednesday to this Pro-Am and just making sure everybody kind of feels at home. You know, Molinari from the first tee to the 18th, I mean, such a great guy, classy guy, you know, chatting with us and you know, it doesn't feel like you were hounding the pro. Like, he's there to answer questions, whatever, but engaging with us. Like, he would come up to us, ask us about different things. It was kind of funny that the night of the pairing party, Mike had tweeted
I tweeted.
He tweeted from Golficity saying how excited he was to pair up to him. So the first thing he says, I saw your tweet.
Saw your tweet. Right? Yeah.
So it's really cool. It's good to see them that engaged. But even going back to what you said about running into Rory, I mean, the nice part also, I mean, we already were there inside the ropes with media credentials, but anybody who's part of the Pro-Am gets to be inside the ropes for the full day. So you get to kind of like rub elbows a little bit with the pros and see them. And what their interactions, I was just kind of watching their interactions and how they interact and how they work with the fans to me is something that I'm always impressed by. Like, these guys can't walk 2-3 feet without getting interrupted. But I saw like Rory just constantly stopping people like, Rory, can you take a picture with my kid? Yeah, sure. Like with a smile on his face, happy to do it.
Right.
You know, and you think about these guys, they're like working to get themselves game ready and they're still there and they're accommodating. Other guys, sometimes they'll say they can't sign autographs right now, but they'll meet after the round mm-hmm. and they'll do them. As we were walking around with Molinari, he was stopping at almost every tee box to sign flags and things like that.
Right.
So these guys are super accessible. It's another reason we've said before that if you're a fan of the PGA Tour, come out on a Wednesday. I know it's not competition, but I think
most relaxed.
Yeah. The grounds tickets are probably cheaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's relaxed. It's not huge crowds. And there's a lot of access to the pros where you can get in there and get an autograph or say hi, take a picture or whatever it may be.
Right.
So that was really cool. So let's talk about the first tee shot because that was the one thing leading up to it you were worried about. Take us through that.
Yeah. So I was not nervous meeting him on the first tee box. I wasn't nervous walking up to the tee box. I was nervous when I was standing over the ball.
Yeah.
That's when it really started to kick him, because at that point, I felt the eyes of, and again, it wasn't Master Sunday, you know, with Tiger, but there was, you know, 30, 40 people, you know,
right. And look, people get nervous like teeing off on Sunday at your local course when there's, you know, six or seven guys standing around.
Right.
But you had, they weren't full, but you had grandstands set up all around you.
Yep.
People were trickling in. They were watching. On top of that, we were with just an entourage of probably 10, 15 people per group. Because every group goes out with a local PGA tour, you know, pro, like just to kind of help out and whatever.
Right.
You had the scoring guy with
keeper,
us. And it
sure.
It starts to add up. And all of a sudden, you're surrounded by 30, 40 people for your tee shot. It can get a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it definitely can, and it did. So, you know, first tee shot went right. It was a slice right. It was still in play, you know. It wasn't OB slice, but it was still in play. It ended up in the cabbage thick rough that, you know, we're not used to. We're not used to that type of grass. But you know, there's no excuses, because the grass up in New Jersey is just as thick and just as rough. So we ended up there. I was behind a tree, hit my second shot, tried to get it around there. You know, shot it over a bunker, had an awkward stance on the third shot, and then I ended up just hooking it left and just gave up on hole number one. So right off the bat, I was out of play. And the thing about a pro-am, they say, if you're not going to make par, just pick up and move on. And I knew going in that I pretty much, my handicap was adjusted up for the course conditions. I basically had a stroke on every hole.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing that was throwing us off in the beginning. We were trying to get the rhythm and understand, because we were a little bit worried about, everyone always says, just pace of play, keep moving. Don't, because there's a lot of people out there teeing off, and you don't want to hold the pro up and stuff like that. And just to give you guys an idea, the format is like a four-ball format, which you've heard us talk about on the podcast before. So it's played with handicaps. You get one score per team. So the low score of the group is the group's score. So they usually say, like, it's going to be coming usually at par or better. They say if you're up there 5, 6, 7, whatever, it's just time to pick up, depending. Because you still, you know, these guys pay a lot of money to play in the pro-am. They say you can still go out there. And the pro never, not once did we feel rushed by the pro. I think we were just kind of getting the rhythm of it early on.
Yes, that was it. I just didn't know his thought process of like, oh, this guy's really going to try to make a 7, or this guy's going to try to get out of that bunker now. He hit like 6 shots to get into it.
Right.
So I blame a lot of my first couple hole struggles on just moving along. And basically there was no confidence there. I didn't hit a good shot yet. You know, I needed like a good shot to kind of just break through, you know, and that didn't happen until the fourth hole.
Yes.
You know, so let's start talking about the good stuff, because
let's talk about it. Yeah. Know, we it took us, like I said, we were getting that rhythm.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and the nice thing too is another one who was walking with us was Molinari's like strength and conditioning coach. And
he was a great guy too.
He was a great
Such
guy.
Such a nice guy.
And he was probably the first to see it. Mike, what was it, the fourth hole that you played really well, or was it the fifth? I'm trying to go back.
I'm trying to think. First hole, second hole was the par three. Lost the ball in someone's backyard there. and then the third hole was the par five that I ended up with a really good shot.
Okay.
Yep.
And then he was the first one to kind of like turn to Mike and say, he's like, wow, you really settled down. Cause he was watching and he saw that and he was spot on. It was just like that rushed, like I said, that kind of that rushed feeling. Maybe it was self-imposed. I don't know.
I didn't feel rushed, but right. I was rushed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel it, but right. You are. That's like when you tell me you're swinging fast, but I don't think that I am.
I had told you, I think it was on the third hole. I'm like, oh, that one was quick.
That was quick.
Yeah.
And even Molinari, it was on that particular hole, it was a par five. I ended up in the bunker off the tee, which it was a good shot. It was just a fairway bunker. So it didn't quite get back to the fairway. I had to kind of get it out of that bunker, maybe 50, 60 yards. Third shot went right. But that approach shot going in, I stuck it to about 7 feet. And that was my first good shot of the day. And at that point, Molinari looked at me and said, good shot, Mike.
Yeah, and that's so validating.
So validating. At that point, I was like, oh, weight off my shoulders. Let's play some golf. You know, and then I ended up making a bogey, which was a net 5. So it was a par. And from that point on, I think things just started to click. You know, yeah. We went to that par four. I ended up striping a beautiful drive down the fairway. You talked me out of a 56 into a gap wedge, which ended put me 5 feet from the pin.
Yep.
I ended up three putting it because, again, still wasn't used to the greens, but I was still feeling pretty good, right. You know, about that shot. And then
a lot of like wind calculation.
Yeah, a lot of wind calculation. And the wind was getting stronger and stronger as the day went on.
Right.
But I want to talk quickly about that very next hole. This was just par five, my best hole of the day. By far, and if you've seen this, or Google search, or go to Bay Hill's website, they have a flyover of every hole. Look at hole five. It's a par five that wraps around a lake. In fact, the guy there told us that John Daly literally turned completely left and tried to go for it and won.
Yeah.
And he ended up going in the water, and he ended up making like a 13 on the hole. I still right. want to research to see if that's true, but that's what he told us. So I carried that hole, the previous hole, into this one. I ended up hitting it right in the fairway. And you talked me into, which was really smart. You said, all right, Mike, listen, obviously you can't go for it here. There's 305 yards to the green. Just put yourself to the position of where you were on that hole before, because you hit that one before so perfectly, that 110-yard shot.
So simple math, we're like 110 yards out, hit whatever club you need to be. You need to hit here to leave yourself 110 in.
And sure enough, nice little five hybrid. I put it 200 yards, just a little bit right side, first cut of the rough. And then I ended up, we had the conversation again about that same shot. You said use that same gap wedge.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck it to about 4 feet or so. And then I ended up hitting a birdie, which was a net eagle. And just from that point on, you know, I was walking with a little bit of, you know, swagger.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what we were even up until that point. That put us two under, and that put us actually somewhere on the leaderboard, respectively. And yeah, because I walking the fairways, and it was interesting for me to caddy. It's not something I've ever done before. So being able to focus on Mike's game versus focus on mine was something really like new to me. So I said, okay, you know, let me think about this, and let me think about what, if anything, I can say to help him. So I'm trying to help him with some yardage. Oh, and quick update, if you've heard us talk about this on YouTube, this is you've heard us talk about this being on YouTube. It's not going to be on YouTube
because
our camera just died.
That's what happens when you're filming all week.
And that's what happens, you know, when you're trying to like quickly get this done in a hotel room.
Right.
So okay, we'll be audio only. But anyway, as I was saying, like going through it and just trying to – there was a lot of like trying to help him with wind calculations and with yardage. But more so, I'm like, what little tips can I do here? And I'm like thinking, like, what would be running through my mind? And just walking those fairways, as beautiful as they were very soft, because, you know, they're getting them ready mm-hmm. for tournament play. And I'm just thinking, when you get to 100 and in, any type of like really high lofted club, if you don't hit perfectly contact with that ball first and then the ground, something we've talked about before, you're going to cut right in.
Absolutely.
And I saw it happen. In my mind, preemptively, it's going to happen that if he doesn't make perfect contact, he's going to cut in and it's going to go nowhere. He's going to need the shot again. So that's why I said, Mike, just club up. You know, just club up, take a little bit less loft, and that's what you did there, and it just ended up working perfectly.
And it worked
solid
out.
Solid contact. You give yourself – we talked about playing high – you know, low-risk shots, you know, risk versus reward, and that's exactly what happened there. By taking a little bit more club, you eliminate a little bit more risk of digging in. So did that, walked away with that that birdie, legit birdie. Net eagle,
yes.
And then went on from there.
And you know what's great? And I apologize, or maybe I don't apologize. You probably are liking the play-by-play, because the PGA Tour is going to kind of limit what we can share in our vlog. So I kind of want to take it just to the next hole real quick, because this was another thing that got me fired up. Par three, a lot of wind. I think it was 150-yard par three, but everyone was saying take three extra clubs. That was the wind. Like
yes.
Play it like 175 or 180. I took a 175 club. I just missed the green. I just missed it. I ended up in that front bunker. But the cool part was I up and down for par, and the people in the gallery clapped.
Yeah.
And I hat tipped. I felt like I was on the PGA Tour for a split second. So between the birdie and the hole before and the up and down par where the
– which was for a net birdie.
For a net birdie.
Yep.
Where the fans there were clapping for me, I was like, all right, I can get used to this. This is cool. Let's turn it up. I think from that point on – I got off the tee, I think, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we went from even to three under in two holes. And we saw ourselves moving up the leaderboard a little bit. We saw Rory's team was in first at 6 under. And we're like, maybe we can do something here and catch it. But then, yeah, after that, your game, as you said, settled down. And I saw you hit a lot of fairways, and hitting those fairways made such a difference because, as you said, you leak a little bit off the fairways. The rough here was brutal, almost to that like where you had to step on it to find
yes.
the ball. So it was, and that's where we felt more rushed. If you got in the rough and it was like trying to find the ball, and you just, you know, so once you started controlling that and a lot of the drives were going in the fairways, I think that's what just kind of set it up for some great approach shots.
Yes.
And then in total, all in all, what did we recount it that you ended up with three
pars
and a birdie.
And a birdie.
I'll tell you what, Bay Hill playing as tough as it was today, with it being cold in the morning, windier as the day went on, to get three pars and a birdie, that's a solid outing.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, I wanted to kind of walk out of this, not with just a few. Someone told me just try to walk out of it with a few good shots. I said, no, I want a few good holes.
Yeah.
And I definitely strung a bunch together. And I can attribute a lot of it to you helping me out with some of those approach shots. And even like fast forwarding to 9, that's when that hole that they had the TrackMan on there. And I hit that beautiful drive down the right side of the fairway. We had 160 yards in. And you're like, listen, just... you know, take that 165, 170, 8 iron, take a little bit, or just give it a nice smooth swing, a little bit of wind in your face. And I ended up, the ball mark on the green was right in line with the hole. It was the perfect distance. It stopped, I think, right 5, 6, 7 feet. I ended up two putting for par, which is our next, that was a net birdie, which brought us to 4 under.
4 under, right.
So, I mean, think about that 9 hole. The first 2 holes, I lost 2 balls. I was so quick, so fast, and just so rushed in my own head. And then look how I settled down and had a couple of pars there, a few pars and a birdie. So,
and some of the guys we were playing with had, you know, a little bit tougher rounds out there. And, you know, that's one thing that I want to say about this is that no matter how you play, you can have some fun with it being in the pro-am. Some of these guys, like, they almost took to the last hole to get 1 or 2 good shots, and then that just brings you right back in.
Oh, yeah.
But it almost didn't matter. Everybody was having such a great time. It was such a relaxed atmosphere that it really just worked out well.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you this as I switch from hot coffee to cold coffee now. Hold on a second. What was probably the best part of my game today? What would you think, the putting?
No, because there was the couple holes there where you kind of left some on the table because it was difficult. It was a 1 or 2, 3 putts. I think the best part of your game, which was the thing we were most worried about, was your driver.
Okay.
Because once you settled in, and I just saw you hitting fairway after fairway, that's what sets you up to start making those other shots.
Yeah.
When the first couple holes, when you were pushing it left and right off the fairway, and then we were having to scramble out of the rough, and you could, and every time we looked at that rough lie, it was like, all right, can you get the club on the back of the ball here? Or do we need to just kind of punch it out? We even saw once where Molinari had to punch it low out of because the rough was just so intense. And there was 1 or 2 shots that you ended up in, not missing by much and ending up in fairway bunkers with decent lies. And you hit 2 great shots with hybrids out of those fairway bunkers with the decent lie. So the fact of the matter that, you know, from probably 5 on, you set yourself up well. I think the driver was the key. And you had a blast. You had a blast on 18.
18 was
sweet. Set you up with a perfect wedge shot in.
And I up and down that for par. That was my last par.
That's it.
From the bunker, which and the whole entire gallery was clapping.
Yeah.
That was cool. And I know you got that experience on film too for me, which was great.
Yes. But that, I would say that would be, for as worried as you were about it, I think that those little bit of improvements that you did and the changes at the working with Travis Fulton at the clinic the day before, I mean, it just shows you. We talk all the time about getting a lesson and working on that with the benefit to it.
Yeah.
I mean, look how quickly that turned things around.
You know what? It's funny you bring up Travis because I think after the second hole, when I lost that second ball, one of the pro-am, the amateur partners of ours, I think his name is Ian, he said, because he was at the clinic as well, and he said, are you turning your – are you changing your grip like Travis told you? Remember he said that? He goes, you changing that from that strong grip. And I said, no, I totally forgot. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
So then I started turning my thumb a little bit to try to get rid of that slice. And that kind of helped too. So, you know, I took all those things I learned there. I brought them over. I think I played well. I mean, I know you agree for my first ever pro-am on a course like this. I'm walking out of it saying I played well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there was no score. There was a couple holes I had to pick up just to keep the thing going. So we didn't really have a score. So I can't really say that I shot this type of whatever it was. But I can hang my hat on, you know, a really, really solid round.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So it was That was it. I mean, it ended up being probably a 4.5 hour round, which ultimately is not that bad. But funny enough, it's that one time when you're like, I don't want it to end. I don't care if it's 6 hour round. You know, we just wanted to keep going. It almost seemed like 18 snuck up on us. But it was a great time. And then after on the way out, you know, you get to, again, you know, talk with the pro a little bit, you know, and they, this is where as you're walking out, they handed you this awesome, maybe we'll get a shot of this and put it in the show notes, but this awesome plaque, just talking, it shows the date, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It's got a picture of you and Molinari. It's got a picture of you, Molinari, in the group, and he signed it. They framed it. Such a cool thing. And then, you know, we didn't even talk about the day before, the swag bag.
Oh, the swag bag.
Are you kidding me? All of a sudden they right before the pairing party, they take, you know, all the players in the pro-am into this side tent, and they just start hooking you up with stuff. I mean, we walked through this a little bit on Instagram Live last night when we got it, but custom luggage with the Arnold Palmer umbrella on it. You got a custom, I think it's a 56 degree wedge that's laser engraved with the Arnold Palmer logo on it. So much cool stuff that was in there. Oh, the Oakleys.
The
right?
Oakley aviators.
That you wore today.
I wore them today. The pullover that I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
And I wore that today.
It was just like, just.
They treat you well. And, you know, one other thing I wanted to mention regarding Molinari is we talked about the tweet the night before.
Yes.
So I'm walking the course, and I want to pull it up. I tweeted him during the round. Get this, right? This is great. Because I noticed that, you know, as he's waiting for us amateurs to hit, he pulls out his phone and he just checks things out. And that's cool. So I wrote, out here knocking balls around with @F_Molinari, classy guy and a hell of a golfer. Pulling for him to take home the trophy this week. Who knows? Maybe he'll come on the podcast for a quick interview one day.
Yeah.
So then I'm walking down the fairway after hitting a beautiful drive on 15, or 14. And he walks. I felt like he was always behind us the whole day with his team. But he, like, on this particular time, he rushed up to walk next to me by himself, and he said, "Hey, Mike, so tell me about the podcast."
Right.
How cool is that?
That is so cool.
So he got the tweet during the round, just like I planned, hopefully, you know, that he was going to do that. And I told him all about Golficity. I told him about the podcast. I told him about, you know, what we're trying to do and our mission. And I said, "Hey, listen, I know you're going to be here in the States for a while." This is exactly what I said to him. I said, "If you're ever bored one night in your hotel room and you want to do a little interview over Skype, we'd love to have you on the show." And he said, "Yeah, great. You know where to find me on Twitter." So I thought that was pretty cool. Who knows? Maybe we could bring him on.
That would be great. We'll get his side of the story.
Yeah.
Right. But it's cool. It's cool to see that the pros are out there. They're working on their game. As I said, he's had his strength and conditioning coach with him. He had his caddy, you know, working with him on different types of things. He's practicing some very specific shots out there, just getting ready for knowing what he'd have to hit out at Bay Hill. So it was great. So that was it. You know, we wrapped it up. And then we hung around a little while longer to watch some of the other guys who we were with go off with their pros. And then, you know, shot back over here to the hotel room to record this podcast because we want to talk about it as soon as we could. It was fresh on the mind. And then, like I said, we're getting changed and going back over. There's still more to come at Bay Hill. They're going to be having a little reception for everybody who's in the pro-am. So I'm excited for that too. It's been a great experience all around.
Busy, but fun week. And by the way, tomorrow we get up and we're playing an awesome course and we're going to test out the new Titleist Tour Soft golf balls.
Yes.
And we're excited to shoot that vlog and bring that to you probably in a couple of weeks once we get through this whole pro-am, content here.
Right. So, you know, I think we covered pretty much everything, but if there's anything else you guys have questions or otherwise, post them in the Facebook group. You know, just go to Facebook, search the Golf Podcast or Golficity. You'll see our group pop up. It's a free group. Make sure you join it. Check it out. Post your questions. Post anything like that, and we'll hopefully respond to those directly there.
Yeah, and please just, you know, shoot us messages. People have been shooting messages all day just asking me all kinds of questions. They keep coming in as we're talking right now about the course, about Molinari, about everything else. So definitely shoot them over. I love getting them. I will respond as quick as I can. And again, like you mentioned earlier, Frank, special thanks to 18 Birdies for putting this together. Special thanks to the PGA Tour for allowing us to film out there, as well as Arnie's Army and everyone that's involved with this great charity and this great organization. So thank you again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So all right, so let's wrap it up. Let's go get changed and head right back to Bay Hill for for, I don't know, a little dinner, a couple of drinks, and chat about it. I can't wait to hear how some of the other guys came in, some of the other guys in this 18 Birdies group who were, some of them had late tea times, 2 o'clock and stuff like that. So I can't wait to hear how they did. I know everybody was very excited, but also that excited, nervous walking into it. So we're going to see. All right, so that's everything we have for you guys this week. Sorry that we're not going to have a video for this episode because I don't know what happened to our camera over there, but she just kind of cut out on us halfway through this. But you can get to the show notes by going to golfcity.com/episode210. Special thanks, as Mike said, to everybody who helped make this happen. We appreciate every bit of that. And we appreciate all of the local fans in Orlando, all the listeners who made it out one way or another to meet up with us and see us, whether it be at Top Golf the other day or we ran to some of the guys today out there, and we kind of like let you guys know where we were on the course and got to see some people. So we love that. That's like one of my favorite things is meeting you guys in person because, you know, we can talk through this microphone all we want.
Right.
I love that face-to-face and seeing you guys. So that was great.
And last word, just want to say special thanks to Titleist because of the gear being with us for this, you know, this trip and, you know, giving us the equipment and stuff that we need for this trip and for what's to come with you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, big exciting things there. So that's everything we have. Tune in again next week. We'll be back. We'll be back in the studio. It'll be a little bit less makeshift than a hotel room like this, but we got great stuff for you guys. So we'll see you again soon.